desire and interest in your prayers. Feel like I'm one of the least of the brethren. I'm going to write a little something on the board, and as a speaker, I feel like I need all the help that I can get. So I'm going to ask him to go out and get something for me. I've got something I want to bring to the pulpit, and I've done this kind of thing before, and one of the most valuable things I think we can do is paint a picture in your mind. So because I feel a little incapable sometimes with my vocabulary and all, I'm going to have a little prop here, so bear with us. As a young boy, I started mowing yards for some of the neighbors, and they were pretty. Set those up here, please. Set them up here. They were very understanding because I was, I think, 10 years old when I started mowing some yards with a push mower. And I think I mowed some grass for like $4 a yard. So that kind of puts an age on me. And one man that I mowed his yard for was, I thought he was really old. Maybe it was because he walked with a crutch, but he was, I'm going to guess, in his 70s at least. And most of the time in the summer when we were cutting grass, he just wore bib overalls, and that's it. So he would walk around with that crutch, and he was a kind of a sinewy type person, I guess would be the right word to say. And he made some comments as to, back when he was younger, he was a good man. He was pretty strong. So he would have that crutch and walk around. And so as a young boy, I thought, well, I don't know what he was like when he was young, because he was considerably older than me, old enough to be my grandfather, I'm sure, at the time. And but his arm always stood out to me, that arm that moved that crutch, you know. And been thinking, I know some of us have prayed that the Lord would inspire the word before camp meeting. And I feel like this is something the Lord has given me some time back. Been dwelling on it. I want to ask the Lord to help us know how to articulate it and paint the picture where we get the message. So, over here in Isaiah, the 50th chapter, it says in the second verse, "Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea, I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I would venture that this morning, if we took a survey, that very few, if any of you, would say, I believe everything y'all are doing is just a bunch of rubbish. I believe we have people, by and large, here this morning, that have a sincere desire to be pleasing to the Lord and believe that there is something to living for God and being a Christian this morning. And I'm glad there is. And I would say that if we went around the audience this morning, that you would say, I believe God can do it. And I'm very thankful for the testimonies that we have heard since we've got here of divine assistance in our physical bodies. I'm thankful for the testimonies of divine encouragement and strength the Lord has given in times of discouragement and the times of distress. And I believe with all of my heart that there is nothing too hard for God. And Isaiah records these words. He says, is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? I believe that the most wicked person can come to an altar of prayer, be it this altar or an altar that's with no one else around. They can come and meet God and be reconciled with Him and be different. You know, one of the things we struggle with in the workforce is dealing with different personalities and trying to coach and cope with people that just quite don't get it. And in our workforce. And one of the things that happens is you send people to training and you read books and you learn how to develop new attitudes and change your disposition about all of those things. But, you know, it boils down to it. If they don't want to change, they won't ever change. But I believe in something that goes beyond any kind of motivational speech, any kind of self-help book you might read. I believe that we have a God that's accessible to us that can change us. I don't believe that His hand is shortened, that it cannot redeem. I don't believe His power is diminished where it can't deliver. I believe with all of my heart that you can be different. You don't have to be like your parents. You don't have to be like you used to be. You can be a new man in Christ Jesus. And I'm banking eternity on that. And I believe there's many of you here that's investing in the same thing. So I'm interested in us looking at this phrase I put on the board. The arm of the Lord. I'd like to turn to Isaiah, the 59th chapter, and look in verse 1, maybe, beginning. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have been separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. For your hands have are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak in lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. I'll stop there. The point is that no matter what our level of belief that God is able, and I believe He's able, His arm can be hindered. It says here, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And if there is something that is separating us from God, His ability to work is diminished. Now, some of the things that I asked him to bring was souvenirs. Now, how many of you would like to go cut a rick of wood with that? These are souvenirs from raising young men. And what happens is a little misaim and maybe using the axe for a pry bar, when that's not what it is, has caused the handle to be broke out. And I just brought a few. I've got, I could probably fill at least 2 5-gallon buckets of things like this at my house. Splitting maul. Handle broke smooth out of it. I don't want to split any wood with this. I want a handle in it. And I don't want to drive that wedge in with this one either, because the handle's broke out of this one. You can see the end of the handle in these. I don't want to go out there and try to split up some honey locusts or something like that. Maybe something even worse than that. I don't want to work out there with tools without a good handle in them. It's all of these could be revitalized. And over the years, I've put new handles in. And my father had to do the same thing because I had the same problem that my boys did. So if I want to be able to use these tools, it needs a handle. I want us to realize that for God to be able to manifest His power at its premium, at its maximum, can He override and supersede any of my efforts or any? Yes, He can, and He has. And He has mercy on individuals over and over again, and I am so grateful for that. But I want us to catch a vision this morning of what God can do if we'll allow His arm to be at its full capacity. If His arm would be able to reach the world. Why isn't the world converted? Good question. We can say, well, the devil has got so many distractions and so many traps that people just can't help themselves. Well, maybe, but what if there had been, the arm of the Lord had been strengthened instead of hindered? What if the arm of the Lord had been not hindered and there was not any separation? What if the Lord had full reign in men's lives? What if there was a level of commitment that was sold out? What if it was something that could work at its full potential? Have you ever tried to use an axe with a broken handle? I mean, if I was really in a bad situation and I had no tools and I found this, I'd be happy I found it. But I'm going to tell you, I've got another one at the house that's got a handle in it. And I'm going to pick it up first. I'm not going for this one. I'm going for one that's got a handle in it that I can actually use. So I'd like to look now in John, the 12th chapter, and notice a verse here. In St. John, the 12th chapter, at the beginning of the chapter, it says, I believe that it's 6 days before the Passover. Then Jesus, verse 1, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. We're not going to read through all the chapter, but I want to skip down to verse 35. And it says, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not in him. That the saying of Isaiah, they're quoting over here where we read earlier, the prophet might be fulfilled which spake, the Lord who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has the revelation of the arm of the Lord? Who has the revelation of the power of God? If it's not Christianity, if it's not the church. I believe the church has a revelation of the power of God. I believe we've heard the testimonies in this meeting already of those that have witnessed in their own lives the power of God, have mercy, that's had mercy on them, that's changed the course of a serious development in their life. And the Lord has come and his power has been, it's revealed to them. So I'm asking this morning, so if the power of God has been revealed to us as a people, as the church, are we helping or are we hindering? We've probably all seen the little picture of two little guys with the wagon, and one of them says to the other, "Are you pushing or pulling? Are you helping or are you hindering? Are we putting everything we can into it? Or are we looking for opportunities to gainsay? Are we looking for places to say, well, I don't know, I don't know if I can work with that?" So, as a young boy also, probably about the same age bracket as when I started mowing grass, I remember going with my father. We didn't burn wood to keep the house warm, but we had a wood stove in our workshop, and we would cut a little wood. And we didn't have a log splitter. We just had some wedges and a sledgehammer. And I remember going, and I was right at that age. I might have been 12 or 13, but I thought I was getting pretty strong. And I would go out there and try to help my dad. And I probably didn't have a choice. I imagine he took me with him, and he delegated tasks to me. And he would tell me to start splitting that wood. And I was not experienced. And Dad would start the wedge, and then I don't know if you've seen this done, and I'm not a very good demonstrator, but Dad would take that splitting maul and put it out there on that wedge, and it would look like it slid off, and he would swing that thing around like that and hit it, and he could just keep on doing that. You know what I'm talking about? I would go over there and get it started, and I would rear up and hit that thing, and about three or four licks, and I was done. And my dad could put that on that wedge and swing it around and just keep hitting the same spot. He could do the same thing with an axe. He'd swing that axe and hit that wood and swing it around, and it looked like it went right in the same little groove. I was impressed. I still am. It wasn't because my dad was a big burly person. I thought he was the strongest man in the world, but it wasn't because he was so strong, but he knew how to use that sledge. He knew how to use his arm. He didn't have his arms bent. They were fully extended. You know that when we are at full extension, that's where the greatest power is. You ever seen anybody use any kind of hammer and they got the handle choked up where the head is right next to their knuckles? Not very wise for various reasons, but it's not very effective either. You can have a 12-ounce claw hammer and you can be wore out driving in a 10-penny nail. But when you get out on the end of the handle and you swing that hammer and hit the head of the nail, I'm going to tell you, you can make some work happen. The Lord, I believe, this arm of the Lord is a powerful force. It is nothing that the devil wants to contend with. He can't. He knows he's a loser. He knows that he has no way to combat the forces of the Lord. But he can hinder the arm. And when he's hindering the arm, he's interjecting those things in our lives that will cause us to be less than effective and less than full extension. He wants to cause our effectiveness in this world to be diminished. He wants us to draw back and choke up on the handle. I know the Lord can do it. I mean, it's a 16-pound sledgehammer with a 6-inch handle. There might be a place you want something like that, but if you really want to use the benefit of a 16-pound sledgehammer, you need a handle like this. I went and bought this hammer. You know how much that sledgehammer is? Some of you know. That's about a $120 sledgehammer. You know why I paid that much for a sledgehammer? Because if I break it, they give me a new one and give me $100. It's got a steel core inside, and I've not seen a sledgehammer yet that can't be broke. But I've seen some other folks have one of these, and it's not been broke. And they broke some of these kind. So what kind of hammer do you want to be for the Lord? How effective do you want the arm of the Lord to be? You know, as a young man, I'm not going to try to demonstrate this, but as a young man, we would try to take a sledgehammer and hold it down at the end and then let it hold your arm out straight and let it down and touch your nose and then pick it back up. You ever done that? My wrist is not as limber as it used to be, but I could do that. 10-pound sledgehammer, let it down. I've even done it with a 16 years ago. You don't do that without having some strength in your arm. We're not going to be able to allow the arm of the Lord to reach its capacity if we just constantly allow something to shorten the handle up. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, this seems to be the setting when Jesus went back to his home country. We all know the old saying that familiarity breeds contempt, right? And I'm not real sure what all was going on here, but in Matthew 13, we'll begin reading maybe verse 54. Jesus went back, it says here, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished. And he said, they were the ones saying this, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? So Jesus went back as an adult and he's engaged in his ministry and he began to teach. And as he taught, those that were his contemporaries, those that were his peers, begin to look on and listen to what he said, and they begin to question it and speculate. Well, this is the guy that we played with when we were younger. This is the man that his dad was the carpenter here in town, and this is the one that lived across the street or down the road, and maybe they felt like that he wasn't the right person to be teaching or explaining anything. I don't know all the details, but they didn't accept it. They didn't accept Jesus. So it says here, he says he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief." The arm of the Lord was hindered. He did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. So this morning, one of the things that will shorten the handle, that will hinder the effectiveness of the arm of the Lord, is simple unbelief. I just can't believe. I just can't move out on that. It's too fearful. And consequently, the mighty works that could have been demonstrated many times are not demonstrated. And you can make a list of whatever it is that you believe that God can do, but yet your personal unbelief is hindering the effectiveness of the arm of the Lord. You believe that the rank sinner can be different? Do you believe that we ought to live a conscientious life before the Lord? Do you believe He has the power to do those things that would have to be classified as miraculous? Do we really? You know, it will strengthen. It doesn't make the arm capable, but it will strengthen its effectiveness. It says here, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country. So, I want us to think, what's your country? I was born and raised in the state of Missouri, but not here. It was on the other side, in the southeast corner. That's where I come from. And I wonder sometimes, haven't visited very many times, I wonder what it would be like to go back and start trying to make an impact on my old classmates. The fellows that I went to school with, would they accept it? Or would they say, "Oh, that's the guy that lived over there on the corner," and just turn it out? But I want to bring it a little closer to us today. I'll tell you where my country is today. My country today is my home congregations. My home congregation. You know, the home congregation can be a powerful thing, and also can be hindered. So what is the hindrance? Is it unbelief? Is it disharmony? Just not blending? Is it non-commitment? Is it discontent? What is it that's keeping and hindering your local congregation? What's causing it from being effective? There's a mission field around every congregation. We have a hurting world out there.
What does it mean to have commitment? I have worked with my hands and in my trade of being a mechanic, I have seen the distress in people's eyes and in their expression many times. They're trying to reach a destination and they have troubles unexpectedly. Maybe it's 4:30. And they are very anxious about being able to go on their way. And it's caused other difficulties, but I've looked on and tried to ask myself, what would I want or what would I really appreciate if I was in their shoes? And I've, several times in my life, I've said, you know, I'm going to make sure you get on your way this evening. I'm going to stay until it's fixed. And when you do that, you can see the stress just fade out of their face. And when you're able to send them on down the road, there's gratitudes. Sometimes they want to give you more money. Sometimes they write a letter to the place that you work. Sometimes they come back by and say, I was just going back to visit the relatives and I wanted to stop and tell you how much I appreciated you helping me out. But I'm going to tell you, between the time that you said, I'll stay until it's done, and it's done, sometimes it's not real pleasant. Sometimes you're kind of wishing you hadn't volunteered. And you know, our country, not everything is going to click all the time. Not everything is going to be a perfect atmosphere of serenity and peace. And I'm burdened this morning that that we don't just come and not just commit to the level of a superficial commitment. You might say, well, I'm a member, I'm part of this congregation or that congregation. I know this is kind of close, but are you? Or are you just a sampler? I really like home-cooked meals. I don't know if you can tell. But I really like home-cooked meals. And you know, when I go to, if I go to a fancy place, I don't know if I'm supposed to eat the little green stuff or push it off to the side. You know, they put on parsley and stuff like that. So, I mean, I'm kind of mashed potatoes and gravy and roast type of guy. Carrots. You can put, I like salad too. I like a lot of stuff. But, you know, we can just go around and sample the real tasty stuff. You know, those little, I don't know what you call them. They take some kind of spread and put it on a, like a tortilla or something, and then, I don't know, they roll them up and slice them, pinwheel, I don't know what you call those things. Whatever. They're pretty tasty. You know, they stick a toothpick in them and you can go by and pick it up and, my, that tastes pretty good. I'll get me two or three more of those. But we can do that in our level of commitment. And it's not like chewing a piece of beef. It's not like chewing a piece of beef. There may be something in that chunk of roast that you put in your mouth you got to chew on a while. And you may, the pastor or whoever ministers may say something and you might have to go home and chew on it a while. And think, I don't know about this. You may have to pray about it. And there may be somebody that burns their dish that they brought. And it may not be tasty at all. But I'm going to tell you, if you say, I just don't get anything out of it on such and such a service, I think I'll just stay home. You know what you did? You just cut the handle off. You know, this handle starts out pretty long. And I'm not going to, but we could cut it off this morning a little bit and make it a little bit shorter. And a little bit shorter. And a little bit shorter. And a little bit shorter until all we've got is this. Because, well, I'm afraid this is not going to happen. Or I'm afraid this is going to happen. So I think it'd be better for me to just not be there. I want to tell you, if you're, there's some things that you can kind of tap in life. And there's other things, I'm talking about fixing stuff. And there's other things, you better grab it here and you better swing that thing with everything that's in you. Or it's not going to move. And a lot of times, when you start to swinging, you know you've made a commitment. You've made a commitment to hit something. And if your aim is off, it could glance off, could twist your wrist, might hit yourself in the shins. It could be a lot of things like that. But I want to tell you, the Lord wants His arm to be able to be utilized in your country, right where you're at. He wants it to be effective. He wants you to be able to not be afraid and choke up and say, well, I'm afraid that something might happen that would be a discouragement to me. You know that if you have a pastor and the pastor looks up and there's not hardly anybody there, that kind of is a discouragement too. I don't know if anybody knows that. But he can feel, he can put his heart into something and realize, well, I guess it wasn't entertaining enough. I guess it wasn't, maybe I'm not a good enough speaker. Or maybe I missed it. Maybe the Lord has departed from me. It could be. But it might be that the arm of the Lord is just being hindered. It may be because of lack of commitment. It may be because there's some unbelief. It may be because there's some disharmony. I want to challenge us this morning to get behind the cause. David said, is there not a cause? He didn't say, well, why didn't you do that? You're older than me. His brothers that criticized him, that said, well, I think you're just looking for attention and all of those kind of things. He didn't back up and say, well, yeah, you got a point there. He didn't do any of that. He said, is there not a cause? What is our cause today? Isn't it that there's people out there that need to know the Lord? You know, it's hard to win somebody with a drive-by. It's hard to win somebody by rolling the window down and saying, hey, we're having special service. Why don't you come to church today and drive on? Your chances of somebody coming is not very good. But you know, when you are consistently there, they see you going in and out of that building for years. And you go over and speak to them at the fence. And you begin to talk to them a little bit and develop a friendship. That old handle's getting longer and longer and longer. And directly you're able, when something happens, you're able to say, listen, I just want you to know we're there for you. Is there something I can do to help you out? Yes, there is.
Would you be willing? And who knows what they're going to say. It's encouraging. But it only happens, folks, if we're willing to allow the arm of the Lord to be fully extended. Now, I'm going to tell you, with this tool, I could do some serious damage up here. And you could too. But if I choke it up like this, I'd probably just make a mess of things. So I want to challenge us this morning. This is the conclusion of my thought. I want to challenge you to make a level of... You're not making a commitment to the pastor. You're making a commitment to God. This is the arm of the Lord. I want this thing to go forward. I want other people to come along and say, I'm not sure what's going on over there, but I want some of that. There's some good people over there. We're depending on it. There's people in our little community that they call it their church, and they haven't even been inside yet. But it's their church. I want them to come in. I want to try to befriend them. I want there to be a relationship. I want you to know, I believe that all power is in our Lord and Savior. And I believe that we have a choice today. We can either shorten and hinder the arm of the Lord, or we can help it reach its maximum capacity. You pray for me.